Well, it must be time for our show, Mark, because that was Dwayne Allman playing on Layla, don't you think?
I'm in.
You're ready?
I'm ready.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, the mighty 101.5 FM. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jim Samaria.
Buongiorno. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Shalom. Hello. Shalom. Greetings.
Hola.
Oh, thank you. And I'm your co-host, Mark Plotnick. Each week, Jim and I bring you songs, insights, and interviews covering rock music and more from the 1950s through the 1980s, or wherever the music takes us.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today. You can find it online at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum website. And our book features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by the king of the keyboards, Mr. Mark Plotnick.
Yeah, you know, we just got our grand piano tune yesterday.
Is it grand?
It's grand.
Okay,
it's
good.
I'm not getting any better, but the piano sounds good.
That's good.
Well, Jim, that was an awfully nice compliment coming from one of the greats behind the camera lens.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. One of the things we like to do on the show today is play songs you rarely hear on the radio. Some people call it deep cuts, but we're gonna call it deep cuts.
Oh, you're very creative, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, these are songs we feel deserve more airplay because, frankly, they're just darn good.
So, Mark, this is one of our shows where we let the music do most of the talking.
Yeah, and I'm sure our fans will like that.
Yes, they will. They like when I talk. I heard, you know, a lot of the emails we get. They
yeah.
say, more Jim, less Mark, less Mark. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
You don't think the listeners like the sound of our Chicago nasal tone accents?
Well, we only have voices mothers will love.
Yeah. And faces are made for radio, too, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a good point. Since you mentioned faces, and we don't have cameras here, I just want our listeners to know that each week Jim and I wear a different rock and roll T-shirt. So I think we'll let our listeners know every week what we're wearing. So today you've got a black AC/DC shirt, which is really nice. And today I'm wearing a gray Fresh Cream T-shirt named after Cream's first album, Fresh Cream.
That's right. You look very nice, by the way.
Do I? Thank you. Yeah, okay. This color goes good on me.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be less talking today.
Oh, okay. Well, get going.
Okay. Well, up first is my favorite musician. His name is Jeff Beck. Hey, Mark, don't forget we're going to see him in October.
I know. I can't wait.
Yeah, he's just amazing. I don't know how many times I've seen him, probably 15 times or so. But back in 1971, Beck formed a new band after the breakup of his first highly successful band that featured Rod Stewart on vocals. The new band consisted of Cozy Powell on drums, great drummer, Max Middleton on piano and keyboards, Clive Chaiman on bass, and Bobby Tench was recruited to be the singer. This lineup was really, really good.
Yes, they released their first album in October of 1971, and they called it Rough and Ready. In typical Beck fashion, he is a monster on guitar, but his bandmates play major roles in shaping the sound of this latest version of the Jeff Beck group, and there are no slackers in this band.
That's so true. A great track off this album is New Ways, Train Train. It's basically two songs in one. So, folks, if you haven't heard this song before, then you're in for a real treat.
I agree.
I'm
Mr. Jeff Beck. Incredible. I got to tell you a really quick story. I think it was 1972, Beck, Bogart, and Appice played at NIU, Northern Illinois University. And me and my friend Gary hung out afterwards, and we talked to Tim Bogart for like 5-10 minutes, and then Jeff Beck came out, and we talked to him for like 2 minutes, got his autograph, which was really cool.
But wow.
But while we were talking to Tim Bogart, he told us that they were going to record a song the next day at Chess Studios for their album that they were going to come out with.
Got that album.
Yeah, the Beck Bogart Appice mm-hmm. album. Anyway, so we knew that, and we thought, wouldn't it be cool if we called up Chess Studios the next day and see if we can go there and listen? So we call up Chess Studios. Someone answers. I don't know how we got the number. I really don't remember. And my friend Gary gets on the phone because I was a little embarrassed to try it. And he said, can I talk to Jeff Beck, please, to see him in the studio? And the guy, this is a true story. And the whoever answered the phone said, yeah, just a second. And he heard him in the background. Goes, Jeff, there's a phone call for you. And comes on the phone. He goes, you know, his British accent, hello? Well, that didn't sound Jewish. I mean, it sounded Jewish.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, it didn't sound English.
That did sound Jewish. Yeah.
And we said, hey, Jeff, remember we met you last night? He goes, who is this? And we said, we met you last night, and you invited us down to Chess Studios to listen to your recording. And he said, I don't remember that. We lied, of course. But anyway, we got Jeff Beck on the phone. So isn't that funny?
How long have I known you? This is the first time I'm hearing this story.
Oh, I got a lot of stories.
Oh, my God. Jim.
That's my Jeff Beck story.
Well, this album we just heard, this was Beck's transition to where he went full-blown jazz rock fusion.
Yeah.
It's kind of in between, but it's very good. All right, let's move on. We're going to talk about Canadian musician Robbie Robertson. He has had one of the most prolific careers in music, and not only is he an amazing guitar player, but he's a songwriter, film composer, producer, and author. And he's actually done some acting.
You know, and he's also a good friend with director Martin Scorsese and helped score many of his movies. And Mark, here's a cool piece of trivia. His father was a small-time Jewish gambler, and his mother was a Mohawk Indian. Somehow, that unusual ancestry gave birth to an incredible rock and roll musician.
And actually, there was a documentary on him recently, and that's where I kind of learned about that, too. Well, he first hit the big time in the music scene with Ronnie Hawkins' band called The Hawks. It was here where he met his future bandmates in what would simply be called The Band. They were Levon Helm, Garth Hudson, Rich Danko, and Richard Manuel.
And Mark, while Robbie was with The Hawks, he got to know guitarist Roy Buchanan, who's an excellent guitar player. And they became a very big influence on Robbie's guitar playing. From there, Robbie from The Hawks, of course, as you know, the band went on to become Bob Dylan's backing band from 65 to 67. And after leaving Dylan, the band became their own group and kept the name, The Band. So they released their first album, Music from Big Pink, in 1968.
And Robertson released his first self-titled solo album in 1987. One of the best cuts on this album is American Roulette, and the song is about the rise and fame of James Dean, Elvis, and Marilyn Monroe. It also features old bandmate Garth Hudson on keyboards. So let's listen to American Roulette.
He was born in the belly of the country, over east of Eden, yeah. Confused by the big city blues, he didn't know whose life he's leading, no. Put yourself behind the wheel and see if you can get that feel. Oh, move faster by night and move faster by night. The windows were all shattered and the body was all battered. American roulette, stake your life upon it. American. Oh,
That was American Roulette by Robbie Robertson, formerly of the band. Great, great musician. We hope you are enjoying the classic rock show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio 101.5 FM, where we play the greatest music of all time. Mark, do you remember the band, the Doc Thomas Group?
I think Doc Thomas was a character on Gunsmoke.
No. Nice try. That was Doc Adams.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the Doc Thomas Group became more famous when they changed it to Mott the Hoople in 1969. By 1971, the glam rock band had very little success and were ready to throw in the towel, but none other than David Bowie stepped in and told them, hey, give it another shot. I like what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and they did just that, and Bowie produced their next album, All the Young Dudes, which really put them on the map. And Bowie wrote the song All the Young Dudes just for them. He also offered them Suffragette City, but they turned it down. So Bowie turned that into one of his own hit songs.
Yeah, oops, that was a big oops by Mott the Hoople.
Yep.
Anyway, the Bowie produced album had a lot of quality rock songs, and one that I think our audience will enjoy is Jerkin' Crocus, written by lead singer Ian Hunter.
Yeah, and I know the guy sitting across from me is very humble, but Ian Hunter is another rock star of the many that Jim has photographed in concert, and he's featured in our book.
Yeah, and that was a part of a great show, and they were the headliners over Aerosmith, a very early Aerosmith, and New York Dolls. But anyway, here is Jerkin' Crocus.
Around.
nice little guitar lick at the end, don't you?
Yeah, it was Mick Ralphs.
Yeah. Oh, boy, what a great guitar player. And we love guitar players. So in 1971, the band Yes released the album Fragile with the hit song Roundabout. The album, the single, and the tour that year propelled them to a new level of international popularity. But the band was going to take on a bigger challenge the next year. And what was that, Jim?
The big album challenge was the 1972 album, Close to the Edge. It was very complex in its blend of music. I guess you could call it a concept album. Side one runs over 18 minutes of one continuous song with different parts, and side two does the same with a cut that goes for over 10 minutes, but both sides flow beautifully into one another.
It's the closing song on side two that is the rock and roll masterpiece. It was written by keyboard genius Rick Wakeman, singer John Anderson, and guitarist Steve Howe, and the song is called Siberian Katru. Did I pronounce that right, Jim?
Katru.
Katru.
Bless you.
You're welcome. Chris Squire excels on bass, as he always does, and drummer Bill Bruford adds his expertise.
You know, and by the way, Bruford quit the band after the release of the album and joined the band King Crimson.
Yeah. Well, their new drummer, Alan White, had to quickly learn all of the drumming parts for the Yes 1970 tour. It was quite an undertaking. But anyway, here is this outstanding song by Yes called Siberian Katru.
There was Siberian Katu from Yes, Close to the Edge.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, please stay tuned for part two of that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM, where, Jim, what?
We play the best deep cuts from the classic rock era.
Very good.